I was asked recently why, when looking in resources, scholarly resources, why it keeps saying Jeh, J-E-H, when it comes to things such as the Father's name, even connected in others' names. We keep seeing in the resources, J-E-H. Sometimes we see the J-A-H, but we understand that the J is something of recent origins, going back about the time of Columbus. But even today, we don't find Hebrew or the Greek having a J or J sound. So we have to look at some history. But today I want to answer that and give a more thorough explanation of the Savior's name. So what is the Savior's name? That's what I want to talk to you about today. And when someone asks what the Savior's name is, I think we should be somewhat prepared to explain what the name is, why we say it the way we do, and I think we can give a little history as well as scripture in going over these things. Now, you know, when I first came in, I was not using the Savior's name. I found out about the Father's name, and that was a starting point for me. But some doctrinal issues I found were, I mean, Yahweh was able to wake me up with those, more so than even his name. But I recognize his name is very important, and it is getting into a salvational issue when we look at it. And of course, it's been covered up about 7,000 times in Scripture. There is the shortened form, the long form. The shortened form is more of a poetic form. But Scriptures tell us that the name is important. Hebrews 1:4, concerning Yahshua's name. Having become as much better than angels as he has inherited a more excellent name than they. Well, I'm sure there's some people that think that Christ is Jesus' last name when they look in scriptures, but that's not the case. You know, we gain an inheritance of a name for ourselves from our parents, and today we have a last name that we inherit from our parents. But this wasn't the case back at this time. When you inherited a name back at this time, you had that in your first name. And so, such is the case with Yahshua. It's a contraction of Yahweh, the short and poetic form, and Hoshua, as we'll investigate here, is being salvation. So we find it basically means Yahweh's salvation. Yah's salvation, to be more literal. Philippians 2:9-11. For this reason also Elohim highly exalted him and bestowed on him, speaking of the Savior, bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Yahshua every knee will bow, at those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Yahshua the Messiah is master, to the glory of Elohim the Father. Well, what is the name above every name? Well, I think as we come into the faith and we understand some of the history and we see how Yahweh's name has been covered up, I mean, the Bible is one of the only autobiographies that I know of that has actually had the name taken out of it. And this is not something we want to do. But we do want to understand that Yahweh is above everyone. I remember reading through a biblical archaeological magazine, and they were talking about the Dead Sea Scrolls. And the question was asked, well, of those scraps, you know, because there's a lot, millions of scraps of these Dead Sea Scrolls that they've had to work on and putting them together. And the question was, well, what would be the most valuable piece? And the answer was the one with Yahweh's name on it. So they recognize how important Yahweh's name is and how valuable it is. But today we've lost sight of that, and we've lost sight of the Savior's name. But today we want to get into that a bit more. Yahweh, of course, is Yod-Heh-Wah-Heh in the Hebrew. It's basically called the Tetragrammaton. And I went to an airport one time, and surprised to find a Jehovah's Witness there. Now, the Jehovah's Witnesses are doing what they can based on what they believe. Of course, we don't necessarily believe all that they believe, but they have some truth. They recognize the name is important. And he had a magazine with him that had this tetragrammaton on the front, the Yod-Heh-Wah-Heh. And I approached him, and he reached out his hand and shook my hand and said, "Hello, and do you know about the Father's name?" And he showed me this magazine. I said, "Oh, yeah, Yod-Heh-Wah-Heh, Yahweh." He said, "Well, yeah, yes, Yahweh, Jehovah," and basically kind of blended. And they're doing that today. There's a Jehovah's Witness that stopped, actually a couple that stopped by our home the other, a few months back. But the person readily acknowledged Yahweh as the name of the Father. Even though they teach Jehovah, they recognize Yahweh. And even in their writings, they recognize Yahweh as being a more correct pronunciation. Going back to the 14th century, they say, well, we're keeping with tradition, you know, because Jehovah was made known around the 14th century from scholars. Regrettably, it's from scholars that really didn't know the language that well, and they were trying to figure out how the vowel pointing was for Yahweh's name. They figure, well, the vowel pointing must have been trying to explain the pronunciation, and they came up with Jehovah. But we've since learned that there's a doctrine of ineffability, the ineffability of the name, meaning that there are individuals that believe that the name was too righteous to pronounce. And so his vowel point is so he'd say something else completely other than the actual name. And so we've seen a number of resources. I mean, we've talked about these things before. But we recognize that Yahweh, and most scholars recognize Yahweh as a more correct pronunciation. When you break down the name, I should actually back up to the Jehovah's Witness and finish what I was going to say there. When it comes to the Savior's name, people will acknowledge the Father's name. But when it comes to the Savior's name, a lot of them have a lot of built-up emotion in the name, if you can call it a name, Jesus. And I say call it a name because it's really not a name. It's a mistranslation at best of in a form that is not really meaning anything. It doesn't mean salvation. It doesn't mean Yah's salvation for sure. But I brought this up to the Jehovah's Witness. I said, after talking a little bit, I said, you know, and we believe that the Son's name is actually Yahshua. And he stuck out his hand again and shook mine and said, well, nice talking with you. And basically that was it. I should have approached it a little bit differently. Maybe I should have asked, you know, hey, have you seen Mel Gibson's Passion of the Christ? Because in that, they spoke not Jesus, but Yahshua, HaMashiach, basically. The transliteration of the name and the title, as we know, is Messiah today. So, you know, there's ways to approach, there's ways not to approach people. But there's a wall that's put up, and I've talked to some, in fact, my own family, and they just say, you know, Jesus is in my heart, you know, that's all I need, and, you know, and that they're just very sensitive. And so it's a very sensitive issue to even bring up. But I think for myself, once I recognize Yahweh's name, once I recognize the shortened form, and that shortened form really is in the Savior's name, that caused a light to go off in my over my head, so to speak. The shortened form is Strong's 3050, and we've got the enhanced Strong's lexicon that basically says it's a contraction for 3068, which is Yahweh, the Strong's number for Yahweh. And meaning the same, it goes on to say there's at least 49 occurrences of 3363. American version translates as Lord 48 times, Jah once, Jah, Jehovah in the shortened form, the proper name of the one true, and they say God, but we recognize that it should be Elohim or El. It says used by many compounds, names beginning with the letters J-E, names ending with I-A-H or J-A-H. And so they recognize that names that start with with a Jeh actually should be Yah, according to the Yod and the He that is shown. And it's actually vowel pointed correctly as Yah, the Yod having the gamut underneath it, which is interesting. Vowel pointing, in fact, I can show you the gamut there a little more closely. But vowel pointing at the ends of names and the standalone shortened form of Yahweh didn't seem to bother those who didn't want to say the sacred name, Yahweh being the full pronunciation of that name. And evidently, some would maybe say Yahweh Shua or Yahweh, you know, if the shortened form was there, maybe they would say the full name. That happens today. There are some today that are saying Yahweh Shua. Or Yahweh, the short, you know, they'll pronounce the shortened form all the way to the fullness. So we have this even happening today. It may have been happening back at that time, and they wanted it stopped because they didn't want the full name pronounced. But we find that the name should be pronounced. In Psalm 68, here are two scriptures that are basically unedited. Psalm 68, they're both Psalm 68, verse 4. One's King James. It says, and I'll just, being unedited, we'll read it through here. Sing unto God, sing praises to his name, extol him that rideth upon the heavens by his name, Jah, and rejoice before him. The New American Standard Bible says, Psalm 68, 4, says, sing to God, sing praises to his name, lift up a song for him who rides through the deserts, whose name is the Lord, and exult before him. Now, why does it even say the Lord there? Well, when you go back to the Septuagint, they had already taken out Yahweh's name at that time, a couple hundred, 300 years before the Messiah's time. The name was already, it was ineffability to say the name. It wasn't allowed. And we find it with Yahweh's name. Kyrios was put in, even the shortened form Yah. Kyrios is there in the Septuagint, which is the Greek translation of the Hebrew, which was done about 200-300 years before the Messiah's time. But these two translations of Psalm 68:4 should be rendered like this: sing to Elohim, sing praises to his name, lift up song for him who rides through the deserts, whose name is Yah, and exult before him. And so we even get a little bit clearer description of what's being said here. And there are some scriptures that it helps clarify when you go back to the original and bring out the original to be able to read it. So how does Yahweh's name fit into the Savior's name? Numbers 13:16 says, these are the names of the men whom Moses sent to spy out the land. But Moses called Hoshea, basically Hoshua, the son of Nun, Joshua. So Joshua, the son of Nun, would have been spelt something like this, or would have been spoken something like this, Yahushua, or Yahushua. Basically, Yod, He, Wa, Shin, Ayin. And it's there. And we find in the Erdman's Bible Dictionary, actually, gives some clarification of this in Scripture. The original name of Joshua, the son of Nun, says here of Numbers 13:8, King James Version, Hoshea. Moses changed the form and meaning of the name, verse 16, thereby affirming the saving acts of Yahweh, Hebrew, Yehoshua. They're going with a vowel pointing there. But they say it means Yahweh saves. And they're correct. But the vowel pointing is what we need to get into. There's it's called a Shua. It's not spelled S-H-U-A. But it's a vowel point, which basically is a colon that's underneath the Yod. And any time they put that there, it would change the Yah to a Yeh. For that pronunciation. And you see it in another location here where Yahushua or Yahushua is actually spelled with Yod-Heh, Wah, Shin, wa-ayin. But you notice that the yod there has that shua underneath, the colon. And basically that makes it say Yesh Yahushua or Yehoshua. And you see this in a lot of commentaries and resources, because they're having to acknowledge the vowel pointing. But I think many of them understand that it was vowel pointed, so you wouldn't say the sacred name. In fact, many of them do get into that doctrine, which is still held today. In fact, you have resources, Bibles even, that have Hashem stamped over Yahweh's name. They don't want to say it. And it's a bit of a hedge that they put around the name, just like on things about the Sabbath. They do certain things so you don't break the Sabbath. They've done certain things so you don't blaspheme the name. But the problem is you break the third commandment when you cover up Yahweh's name, because that word in vain, and it's readily, you can search it out in a concordance, a resource. It basically says to bring the name to nothing, to bring it to nothingness. And that's exactly what covering it up does. It hides it. It puts it away. And by doing so, I mean, you've put away the Creator's name. It just doesn't make sense. And again, it's the only autobiography that I know of, I mean, because Yahweh speaks of himself in this book. But his name has been literally taken out of it. And that's something that we don't want. But this this particular translation with the Yod, Hey, Wah, Sheen, Wah, Ayin is found in Deuteronomy and also in Judges. It's just a different spelling, but basically it's saying Yahushua. Now there's another form, which we find when we come into the New Testament, and also we find forms like this after the Babylonian captivity. But it is, and many will write Y apostrophe S-H-U-A, but they'll say Yahshua. And basically we understand this is saying Yahshua, though there's a laid down Shua that underneath the Yod there, it's actually called a Zir, but it basically is like a Shua in that it makes that Yod a Yeh sound. And it's just a way of distorting the name so you don't actually pronounce Yahweh, the shortened form, and certainly not the long form, which is what they were wanting to prevent, evidently. In the Decenius Hebrew and Chaldee lexicon to the Old Testament scriptures, it's interesting here, it's brought out Jeshua, it says Jeshua, a contracted form of the proper noun Yahushua, and you see that they're using the same zir underneath the yod, because they recognize it's basically changing that yod to a e, and keeping with the shua vowel pointing. But it says, used in the later Hebrew, Greek, and there's a sus, in the Greek of Joshua, the leader of the Israelites, Nehemiah 8:17, of a high priest of the same name, see Yahushua, a proper noun of other men mentioned in the books, Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah, goes on. But we have these forms of the names, and we understand that names have changed over time. And we're looking, just going back to the Messiah's time, 2,000 years. Almost 2,000 years. I don't think we've reached 2,000 exactly, but maybe we have since the Messiah died and was resurrected. But here we find in Nehemiah 8:17 a shortened form of Yahushua, which is basically Yahshua. It's taken out the hey and the wah, and it's giving it more of a Yahshua form. Of course, we understand the zir or the shua type vowel pointing is not proper. Nehemiah 8:17, the entire assembly of those who had returned from the captivity made booths and lived in them. The sons of Israel had indeed not done so from the days of Joshua, or Joshua, the son of Nun, to that day, and there was great rejoicing. Now this shortened form goes into the New Testament, and we'll take a look at the Greek more closely. We could actually look at the Aramaic, the Hebrew. There's Hebrews. There's two different Hebrew Matthews that comes to mind, a Deutele, and then the Shem Tov, I think, is the other one. There may even be another one other than that, but they all have the shortened form Yahshua in them. But we find that concerning Nehemiah 8:17, for example, the complete biblical library says a later variant of the name Jeshua is used in Nehemiah 8:17, from which the Greek form Jesus is derived. Well, this is sort of true, but we recognize that the vowel pointing was used to cover up part of the name that had the pronunciation of Yah in it. So, in fact, people would stop pronouncing it and not say Yahweh's name at all. And why they vowel pointed, why the vowel pointing was done in the front of the names versus the ends of the names is evidently to cover up the full name of Yahweh if someone was going to say or continue on with that, as some do today. But we find that the name, or the shortened form of Yah, which really should just be the shortened form pronounced in the name, is both at the front end of names and also at the back end of names. And I've heard in the past that, oh, Yahshua, that's not even a, you don't have Yahweh's name at the front of any names. Well, they may be following the vowel pointing that was done from the Masoretic texts that show that you shouldn't be pronouncing the name in the front of a name. That is, Yah's name in the front of a name. But that's ridiculous. That just goes back to the tradition. And they had no right to cover up Yahweh's name wherever it is. They just don't have the right to do so. So we're uncovering and we're making known, just as Yahshua made known in his day to the people, Yahweh's name and his own name. Nehemiah 12:41 through 42. Now there are a number of names in here. I'll just go through and read the names, but I put on the side here what they mean. Maaseiah, work of Yahweh. There's Micaiah, who is like Yahweh. There's Zechariah, Yahweh remembers. There's Hananiah, Yahweh has been gracious. There's Messiah, which we already, it's another individual named by the same, but it means work of Yahweh. There's Semiah, Yahweh has heard. There's Jehohanan, and this is Yod and the Hay are at the beginning of this name, but the Yod has been vowel pointed to say Yeh. So in this translation it says Jehohanan, but it means Yahweh is gracious. There's Malkiah, Yahweh is king. There is Jezariah, which means Yahweh appears or shines forth. So you have names, a lot of names that have Yahweh's shortened form, both at the beginning and at the end of the names. There's some others that we could look at where they're just specifically in the front, but for the sake of time, we're not going to go there. You've heard the saying, it's all Greek to me. Well, when we get into the Greek form of Joshua, it's exactly that, Greek. And it looks kind of weird, but basically it's Jesus, and the way this is put here. It could be spelled I-E-S-U-S. And the S is on the end, and this is something I've recently learned, because in the Latin, they automatically put an S on the end because of the, when it's a masculine proper noun. That's just the grammar in Latin. But in the Greek, the S is on the end as a nominative, allowing other case forms such as accusative or genitive to be written in accordance with the Greek grammar. And I get really confused when I start hearing terms like accusative, genitive, and these types of things. But that's what's there. And when we go into scriptures such as Joshua 4:1, for example, in the Old Testament, we can compare a version today with the Septuagint. New American Standard says, "Now when all the nations had finished crossing the Jordan, Yahweh," actually I should have taken out the there, "spoke to Joshua saying," now in the Septuagint, you can see underlined there, there's Kyrios, and at the end there, there's Esu. It's a little different than the Esus. So why the I on the end? Well, it's a dative. The case, and this is reading through the glossary of morphosyntactic database terminology. I always have a tough time pronouncing some of these words. But actually, I didn't list this up on the board. Well, that's all right. I'll just read it. But it's by a Professor Heiser. But it says concerning data, the case that is regularly used for indirect objects and the objects of some prepositions. The data refers to the person or thing to which something is given or for whom something is done. So in context, they did this case dative at the end of the name. And so, but when we look at cases like where we're looking at Greek and they're translating Hebrews 4:8, for example. Let's go there. Hebrews 4:8 in the King James says, and I'll just, as it's written, "For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day?" But the New American Standard Bible says of Hebrews 4:8, "For if Joshua had given them rest, he would not have spoken of another day after that." Here the translators mistook Joshua as Jesus, when it actually was Joshua, or Joshua the son of Nun. King James Version 7, Acts 7:42, compared to the New American Standard, Acts 7:42, "which also our fathers that came after brought in with Jesus, after the possession of the Gentiles, whom Elohim drave out before the face of our fathers unto the days of David." Now the New American Standard Bible says, "and having received in their turn, our fathers brought it in with Joshua upon dispossessing the nations when Elohim drove out before our fathers until the time of David." So it's the same as with Hebrews 4:8. The translators mistook Joshua as Jesus, when it was actually Joshua the son of Nun. So we have the understanding that the form was understood that actually meant Joshua. But we end up with today Jesus. How did that happen? Well, you're going through languages. And with the Greek, you have limitations in the way the name Joshua can be formed and written. And you have more problems when you get into the Latin. And I suppose the German doesn't help either. And then you come over to the English, and it's just, it's a name that really means, doesn't mean salvation. It doesn't mean Yahweh in any way. It doesn't mean Yahweh's son or Joshua. So, you know, we're left with a problem. Because when we read Acts 4:12, there's only one name under heaven which we can be saved. And we already read that Joshua inherited the name above all names. Yahweh is our salvation. Yahweh is the one that saves us through his son, of course. But his son holds the Father's name. And, you know, you go into Joel 2:32, and it says, "All those that call upon the name of Yahweh shall be saved." Well, you don't have a conflict in Scripture when you understand the names properly. One thing I'd like to point out here, though, is at the close of this message is that names, in fact, do change over time, and that the shortened form Joshua is not to be pronounced as Yahweh Hoshea or Yahweh Hushua or Yahushua or Yahushua, but rather it is simply to be pronounced as Joshua. The very short form of Yahshua is in the Hebrew books of Matthew that we have access today. It is in the Aramaic Peshitta, which we also have as a witness to its shortened form. And we find that the Greek, Latin, which Pilate evidently wrote on a sign put over the Savior when he was on the torture stake. We read of that in John 19:20. That is yet another witness. Now, when we look at the form in Hebrew, we find a long form, Yod, He, Wa, Shin, Wa, Ayin. And you find another form, Yod, He, Wa, Shin, Ayin. But look at the shortened form. There's no way you're going to pronounce the fullness of Joshua, son of Nun, or saying Yahushua, son of Nun, but rather a shortened form. Of course, we have to forget about the vowel pointing that was done by those who believed you shouldn't be pronouncing the name in a name, especially if it was at the beginning of the name. So now it's true that we have in our logo the middle spelling of these, but it has to be because so many believe that Yeshua is a correct transliteration of Yod, Shin, Wa, Ayin, which is vowel pointed to say Yeah rather than Yah, as it should be. We recognize that Savior's name holds a shortened form of Yah and Shua to form Yahshua. And I think we see an allusion to this in the first part of Exodus 15:2, which says, Yah is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. So I hope this helps a little bit, but we do find that there are some problems today with a lot of different pronunciations. But we have plenty of witnesses to the fact that Yahweh's name was, during the New Testament times, pronounced Yahshua. And we just have to look at the evidence for that. But it's there in front of us for all to see. So may Yahweh bless. Until next time.